The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Monday, back where we belong. Monday.
for those tuning in that didn't hear all the pre-pro we just did, this is our third take at kicking off this show.
Can you, Griffin, can you recap for me the last two takes?
The first one was a botched attempt to make a joke about Earth Hour, and the second one was a far too soon joke about the passing of Elizabeth Taylor.
It wasn't a joke, it was a memorial.
What kind of show is this? I checked on iTunes, and it said comedy.
I was laughing. This is My Brother Meets, an advice show for the modern era. We take your questions and we turn them into wisdom. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm your oldest brother.
My name is Travis McElroy, and I'm your middlest brother.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I'm the baby.
You're adorable. Just couldn't be cuter.
Pinch these cheeks.
let's get right into it. Hey, question. Is it acceptable to secretly eat my roommate's Hot Pockets if I do more than my fair share of the household chores? Thanks for your help. Always hungry.
I like that she lives in an economy where, like, work equals Hot Pockets. I did a lot of work. That's about 2.5 Hot Pockets.
Travis, can you explain to me why you assume this Hot Pocket burglar is female? How did you make that jump?
I don't know. It's like in Spanish where certain words have an inherent sexuality. That's what this is.
And you're saying it's Hot Pockets, right?
Yeah.
Hot Pockets is the... I don't
is
get
Hot
that
Hot Pockets
at all.
What gets... Are you saying women are genetically...
I forgot to steal Hot Pockets.
I forgot that Travis also refers to vaginas as Hot Pockets. Almost exclusively.
Don't get me started on lean pockets.
When I scanned this question, I read it as my mommy's Hot Pockets. It was going to be way better.
Mommy's Hot Pockets taste the best.
Here's the thing. If you live with this person, and I understand your relationship just by reading this question. Like, you can tell the tenor of this relationship.
How could you possibly... He is overworked, and the other person has a surplus of Hot Pockets that he may not notice when one of five...
That old chestnut.
You gotta get deep. I do more than my fair share of the household chores. The anger, the vitriol is there. It's present. And I gotta tell you, if you have that kind of relationship, your roommate already thinks you're eating their Hot Pockets. Yeah. I mean, they do.
Whether you are or not.
Yeah. Make the punishment fit the crime, at least.
Mm-hmm. Eat
on the Hot Pockets.
Eat her what? Her breakfast pastries? Her toaster strudels?
Oh, man. If someone ate my last strudel, I would be pretty...
Ooh, what if they ate the icing but left the strudel? Oh. What am I supposed to do with this?
I'm throwing this in the trash.
What am I supposed to do with this fruit plank? Get it out of here. It's all dry.
I can't get this plank in the garbage disposal. Deborah, go clean out the garbage disposal for once.
I think, what do they say about, like, alcoholism? It's like, it's not alcoholism unless you're secretly doing it. I think once you reach a point in your life where you're secretly jammed, like, very, very discreetly slam jamming Hot Pockets, like, you've reached a point where you need help, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The first step in admitting you have Hot Pocket abuse is... admitting you have Hot Pocket abuse. It's really the only step, too.
Wait, are you saying they should do this in public? Like, just wait till your roommate's in the living room, then just loudly...
How is your roommate going to learn? Because your roommate's not going to learn anything if you just slam jam them while they're not there. And also,
nom, 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 nom. I'm slam jamming your Hot Pockets.
Yeah, he's like, Martin, I asked you to carry the trash out, and you didn't, so now watch me eat this. This
you need
was
to
yours.
Feel it. You need to feel it.
Don't
feel
blame this. Me. I have a disease.
I have a disease. It's Hot Pockets. They are delicious, though. Who can? Well, is there a flavor dependency here? Like, is it? Are there some flavors that's acceptable? Like for me, if you got meatballs and mozzarella, it's on. Might as well be stolen already. I recently moved cross country from Michigan to Texas. I left my friends and family and go live with a person I've never met. Which brings me to my question, which I feel only you brothers can answer. When telling you where I'm from at the end of the email, do you I tell you where I currently am or where I'm originally from? Thanks, Jim from... Oh, God, I don't know yet.
I think when we ask people to do that, to name their locale at the end of the question, it's mainly for, like, a census. It's mainly so we get a good idea.
Not for tracking purposes.
No, we're not going to hunt you down, but... we would like to know the cultural smattering of this great country or world of ours, because we're international,
right?
Internationally known.
This is a good question, though, because someone was telling me a story the other day that they worked with this person who said that they were from Long Island, New York, and they had lived there to the age of 2 and then moved somewhere else.
Bad news. You were not. It's not where were you conceived? Like, that's not it.
No, that's not it whatsoever. That's not even crazy. Close to it. I think that the most important thing is which one sounds funnier with whatever the problem is that you have. Like, if you're originally from some place that rhymes with my roommate smells bad and your question is about how your roommate smells, then I think you go with that one. I think it's all about alliteration is the number one issue here.
I think the bigger issue here is where do you say you are from in general, just like in life and stuff. Like,
right. I grew up in West Virginia. I went to school in Oklahoma, and now I live in Cincinnati. Where the hell am I from?
Well, you're West Virginia.
You're a citizen of the world.
Yeah, but like I'm in Cincinnati now, so like I might be from West Virginia, but when I meet people outside of Cincinnati and they ask where I'm from, do I still say West Virginia?
Now, Travis, when I go to Kings Island and people ask where I'm from, I'll say Kings Island. I'm here now. Look at me. There's a
Big, if you lived at Kings Island, though, wouldn't you? Like if you took up residence in Kings Island, if you lived in the Tomb Raider ride.
If you guys, goddamn, Travis, you're in my mind. I was about to ask which ride you guys wanted to be on so I could say Tomb Raider, because it's obviously the best one to build a residence.
It's gone.
Is it really?
Yeah, they no longer have the affiliation with Paramount. So.
What's it called? They gutted it, but it's still a ride. It's just like the most boring ride.
Swing chairs, the ride, the adventure. I think that whatever place you lived in the longest is your where you're from. I fucking hate it when people are like, "Yeah, I just got back from Jamaica. I'm Jamaican now." It's like, I'm pretty sure you can't just do that.
I'm pretty sure no one does that. I don't think that happens.
I know 9 or 10 people who came back with dreads and steel drums, and they're like, "This is who I am now. Love it."
They're like, "Listen to the sound. Me. Feel the sound of steel drums.
Feel this rhythm."
I'm from Jamaica. I can feel it. You can listen to this rhythm, but I don't think you can hear this rhythm. Does that make sense? Because you're not from the island.
It's a Jamaica thing. If you're not from sunny Jamaica, just get out of here.
You wouldn't get it, bald head. You don't understand. Hey, listen. I want to hear a Yahoo answer from Griffin.
Oh, okay. Let me do that for you.
We have access. We pay a subscription fee to the Yahoo Answer service.
It's pricey.
It is rich, but it's worth it. So we can find random strangers' questions there and try to help them.
Make fun of them.
Help them, Travis.
Help them. Help them.
Let's help this person. This one was sent in by Golly Ayali. Thank you, Golly Ayali. It's by Yahoo Answers user Oxymoron.
I like a nice lemongrass Golly Ayali. You ever have that?
It's my very favorite. Oxymoron asks, would it be disrespectful to bring birthday cake to someone's funeral?
Well, gosh, like only in the way that that's exactly not the thing.
Are there additional details where it just happens to work out that it's a funeral for someone who's also, it's their birthday?
No, but that's like the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That is really depressing.
Blow these candles out. You can't. No breath. Rip, rip.
Push his tum. Maybe there's one more breath in there. We can use the last
one. Make a wish. I bet I know what you're going to wish for. if I were a betting man.
There's no gift you can get somebody who's dead that isn't insensitive. Unless it's like
unless it's an extra pillow.
A pillow, yeah, that's about it. Cologne.
Sunglasses.
a voodoo priestess.
A weekend at Bernie's.
A weekend at Bernie's.
It's Thank you, Travis.
All expense paid trip to Bernie's.
I don't, I mean, but think about it this way. Those okay. people at that funeral, they're so sad. They're so sad. And what makes you happier than anything in the world than when somebody's like, hey, there's cake? The question is where you put it. Mm. We're at a funeral, because you got the line, right, going to the coffin. Obviously, I don't know, it might be kind of a jam to put it at, like, the foot of the coffin, like, resting on the top, because then, like, they say their tearful goodbyes. But then, like, there's cake, like, instantly afterwards.
Yeah, and you can't put it. You can't put it on the other side of the room because people spend the whole day, like, coming up with excuses to not be near the casket. They're like, oh gosh, that cake! I gotta just get over there.
Whatever you do, just be really delicate and sensitive in the decorating of the cake.
Yeah.
You might. So what think, do you? What do you think?
Race car, obviously.
No. It's a yeah, race car's fine. race car's I would avoid good. A zombie themed cake.
No okay. zombie themed cake. A dragon is good. Maybe like a phoenix would be appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of emerging, especially if they're being cremated. Oh, boy. That would really get them.
You probably shouldn't write on the cake, you're not 1 year older, you're 1 year closer to death. Because yeah. they already done hit that.
They are actually 1 year farther from death. Like
they're getting actually further from it.
Negative 1 year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is my negative first birthday. It's pretty cool. I can't wait till my negative 16th birthday so I can buy smokes and porn.
in the afterlife.
And afterlife, yeah.
Afterlife smokes. Hey, I got a question for you. How do I incorporate a quirk into my personality? I work at an advertising agency, a naturally quirky environment, but I don't know how to start acting quirky. What if I wanted to be the guy who works barefoot? What if I wanted to be the guy who exclusively started wearing neon t-shirts? I feel like certain people can get away with these things and certain people can't. How do I become one who can? Nathan, I have a suggestion. Maybe your quirk should be the guy who never says quirk. Can you do that for me as like a step one? You got it. The thing is, with so many things in life, the answer is one word, and that's commitment. You got to. If you're not going to wear shoes at work, if it gets cold in the office, you got to commit.
You're still no shoes Nathan.
You got to be no shoes Nathan.
Can't back up on that.
And you got, if you wear neon t-shirts, you're neon Nathan. That don't change. You got to commit.
Neon and Nathan's good because then if you become like a professional athlete, then that name will carry over quite well, I imagine.
Yeah.
I would like to give some advice to everybody who's looking to pick up a quirk and all those kids who want to define their personality by coming up with something. If you want to decide if you're the type of person who can, think about if you're the type of person who does. And if you don't already do it, don't start doing it. If you are a person who already does a weird thing, keep up with it. Don't pick up a quirk.
Violating the premise of the question.
I understand that. It's just like the most frustrating that I'm going to be the dude who only drinks Boone's Farm. I'm going to be the guy that plays, you know,
bagpipes.
Double neck mandolin. Don't do it.
I do think that if you're going to pick a quirk, you should pick something that's useful. Like, be the guy who his quirk is he knows how to pick locks. Like, then you go from, like, quirk to talent or, like, special skill, you know?
I think everybody on the planet should pick locks. I think everybody should possess that knowledge. I don't think that's quirky.
That's I think if you don't believe in boundaries.
If Nathan wore a candy necklace every day, think about that. There's Nathan with his candy necklace. That helps you because you get that sugar boost throughout the day. If somebody else wants to come and nibble on you, they can do that.
What if Nathan was the guy with a prehensile tail?
Okay. Don't know how you get that.
That's a little late. I mean,
it's an outpatient surgery these days. Like, you're in your out tail.
I think that no matter what, people are very perceptive. If you try to pick up a quirk like this, people are going to know what you're doing. For like the first month that you do it, they're going to judge you silently. They'd be like, right. Oh, Nathan has a cane now? That's weird. But after that, you're gonna break through it, and people will be like, oh, this is Nathan. He has a cane. He doesn't have a limp or anything. He just carries a cane around.
The thing is, it won't be cool until everyone who currently works there has quit and been replaced with someone else. That's when it will know, it'll be like a worthwhile, valid thing to do. Right now, it's tough sale. Tough sale.
Don't do it, Nathan. You're a beautiful flower already.
Nathan, you're better than that. How about your quirk is you're the guy who can't stop talking about my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. Mm-hmm. That guy, he never stops. He's always extolling the virtues of that podcast. I should give it a listen. Maybe you should. Hey, I've been wondering if I should start wearing cologne when I go out or dress up. Any recommendation on what I should start, what I should look for to start smelling like a classy dude? Sense and sensibility. And that name was created by Travis.
You can't do that anymore. That's perjury.
I like it. What do you?
Felonious.
What do you guys wear?
Me?
Yeah. What's your smell?
I'm au naturel. I used to do Axe, but that made me smell like the inside of an air conditioner after a while, so I stopped. Well, what I imagine the inside of an air conditioner to smell like rusty. It made me smell rusty, and I hated it.
Kind of rusty.
Now I just slap on deodorant, and I use Irish Spring soap and keeps me fresh all day.
I love it.
I don't like to overpower people. I fly under the radar.
I go with an Old Spice trifecta of Old Spice body wash, Old Spice deodorant, and a little bit of Old Spice cologne.
And then a dash of actual Old Spices. Like, yeah. Oh, this coriander is ancient. Let me get it on my skin. That's good.
Oh, that's really nice. I wear Burberry, I think. Burberry? Mm-hmm. They make, like, bags, right? Burberry?
Sure.
Bags? Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I wear Burberry. I think it's called Burberry, the fragrance, or smell like Burberry.
Do you smear that right on your cummerbund, or do you, like, ring around your monocle, or how does it work? Can you explain
Yeah, sure. I have to, first I soak it, soak my ascot in it overnight.
Ladies love that shit.
Yeah. And then I take the deed to the boathouse, and I soak it in that, and I keep that in my pocket. It's sort of like a...
What's that smell? Let me check my pockets. Oh, it's this boathouse that I have. Here's the deed.
It's this deed to the boathouse. It smells like Burberry right now. Just make sure when you apply it, the rule is that your cologne should only be powerful enough to be smelled in the embrace of a lover.
Is that the rule? So you're saying, what's the perimeter?
That is a good rule. It just makes me sick when you put it like that.
I know. Two sprays.
I thought the point was to get the embrace with the smell, like the people get.
Your stink is attracting people from across the room, it ain't attracting people. Like
I gotta go embrace somebody right now.
What is
you've never hunted a smell down? Like, oh fuck, what's that smell? Gotta get to it, and then you find it, and at the end there's a beautiful lady or a beautiful man or like a beautiful dog or something. Like it's something that's beautiful.
Saying because your smell influence shouldn't reach that far across the room.
Yeah, that's your reach. Your throw is too big.
You're going to affect superpower. The taste of people's food like in other rooms. It's not a good way to go.
Yeah. And don't forget bloodhounds. You don't want to throw them off. It's cruel. They're trying to solve crimes.
I just don't know what smells good anymore, you guys.
Well, as to how to pick a fragrance, we gave you some fragrance rules. Just go to your local department store and it's fun, man. Just go and start smelling. Yeah. Say, hey, this is the kind of fragrances I'm into. Well, you probably won't know that, but maybe some notes that you'd like. I'd like something with some notes of old leather and sandalwood. Can you hook me up? And they will.
That sounds delightful.
They will generate a smell for you.
I would like to smell like an old book. Can I have that?
I bet you they do. Make sure you say
that has to exist, right?
Notes of whiskey. That's always good. Whiskey.
Is that a real thing?
Like a campfire.
Oh, I want to smell like an old hobo.
Can I smell like an old hobo with campfire and whiskey?
Do you guys have Midnight Hobo in? Is that? That's revitalizing. Oh, man,
I was trying to drink my chai tea, and you just got me right there.
So nice.
Hey, this is nice, but are you guys want to do some ecotourism?
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a journey with me for Earth Hour?
Turn those lights off and come
with
us.
Turn those lights off and come with us on a journey to the Money Zone.
We'll be right back.
laughing in the driver's seat. Our listener, Ryan Shrout.
What are we driving?
We're driving
an eco car.
An eco car called.
It's very small.
Yeah. And it's taking us to a place called PC Perspective. That's Ryan's company. Now, Griffin, tell me about it. Hit me with it. What is PC Perspective?
Listen, the world of PC, it's very confusing.
Can you? I need you to explain what PC stands for. You gotta.
Pussy control.
Pussy control. Okay. Okay, cool. What's up, Ryan? Your business rules now. Go ahead.
Hey, Ryan, you can use that. He never explicitly says. I'm going to imagine it stands for personal computer.
Okay.
Which we all have.
Assuming. Or pussy computer.
Or a pussy computer.
I need more RAM. I bet you do.
Anyway. Personal computers are confusing. Who knows what's going on in there? I don't. Are wizards activating diodes? Who knows? Nobody knows. Except for PC Perspective. It's a great spot if you need info on PCs, if you need in-depth reviews on PC components. I didn't know there were components in there, but apparently there are, and apparently they have varying degrees of quality. And that is something that PC Perspective can elucidate for you.
I'm thinking about building a new computer, Griffin. Do they have anything for me, or should I just go screw off?
No, they'll help you right there. If you want to toss together a fat rig to use the parlance of the hacker community, if you want to access cyberspace on the baddest rig around, then
if you want a real information superhighway hot rod,
vroom vroom, you pull into the hardware leaderboard, which is the thing that they have on PC Perspective. Where is that?
PCper.com/HWLB. It's right there.
It's shorthand for all those things we just said.
Yeah.
And it'll give you recommendations for building your PC, which I actually built a PC one time, and I just like bought a bunch of shit off Newegg. I was like, oh, I need a RAM. Let me just slap that on there. I need 6 diodes. And the computer blew up, took one of my legs. So can be avoided. They got forums where you can chat it up with other people who are searching for perspective.
And
they talk about PC gaming, which I'm sure a lot of our audience is into. I didn't know that you could game on this other than Jezball. I'm pretty into Jezball right now.
PCper.com/podcast. They have a show. It's probably better than ours. At least we'll teach you more about computers.
We literally know. I know nothing about these things that I do my work on every day. I'm on a computer 9 hours a day. No fucking clue going on in there.
That's PCper.com. PCper.com. And they got reviews, community, podcasts. Check it all out. And while you're going, you can make sure to hum this this jingle that Griffin has crafted.
Got to be honest with you.
Okay.
I tried to do some pre-pro on this one early because I was nervous, and I could not for the life of me turn PC Perspective into a song. So let's see. Let's see how it goes. It's live and hot. I got the chord progression down, but... Gotta get those parts. Gotta snatch that RAM up.
Gotta snatch that RAM
gotta
up.
Gotta get a cooler chassis. For my big fat rig. Gotta be a cyberspace wizard. On PC Perspective. That's not the URL. I'm gonna take another stab at it. Nope, don't clap for that.
Oh, good.
Remix.
What I thought was, I want to hear that again.
Hey, Dad. Whoa, that took a weird turn. What's wrong with your rig? I think that it needs more RAM and bits and bytes. Do you dig? Let's get together on something for once. PCper.com.
There.
like that.
You nailed it. Way that was better. Very good.
That one had overtones of family in it.
It's like strife. There was some strife there.
It's like, Dad, I love you, but we just can't get together on it. But let's
unite.
Let's talk about PCs. Thing. I should have just sung Pussy Control. I really missed my opportunity there. Can I look up the tabulature to Pussy Control really quick?
Yeah. Maybe if PC Bard takes us to the money zone again, which they most certainly will, we'll do a riff on a spoof.
A hot spoof on Pussy Control.
Spoof on Pussy Control. I live by myself. And like Griffin, I've been on a lady siesta, internet fist bump. Sometimes, after a long day at work,
I like actually just fist bumped my monitor. Like,
did you
why
really?
Did I do that? I'm alone in a room.
Sometimes after a long day at work, I like to have a beer. A beer? Come on. I go to my favorite bar after work once a week, occasionally more than once, if I've had a particularly bad day or rough bus commute. Very rarely do I drink enough to be drunk. At most, I leave a bit tipsy. I always tip well and never leave my glass sitting at a table for someone else to clean up. My question is this. Is it okay to do this? Should I feel ashamed for bevving out by myself? That's from Single Dark Beer.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
It's totally cool.
It's totally fucking cool. Like, you're not getting sloshed and, like, I don't know, hitting on your neighbor. You're just having a relaxer.
Just relaxing.
Yeah.
Alcoholism is just a label that society puts on you.
I don't subscribe to labels.
You've already eschewed their expectations for you in terms of pursuing and securing a life mate. Mm-hmm. Why not just shrug this one off too? You're living the life you want, like a herpes ad. Just do it. Drink it up. And you're not going to meet anybody nice in your house. I'm just saying. I mean, I know like you're taking a break right now, but
that's why he goes out once a week. I do the same thing. It's like, maybe tonight, I'll find that special somebody. I'll have one beer, and I'll clean up after myself.
He's hoping ladies someone will notice that part. They will see that.
Ladies will see that from across the bar. Like, did he just bus his own table? Get over here.
Get over here, Linda.
Make sure you bring your own rag and your own coaster and really just take pretzels. Care of business.
I brought these pretzels myself. If you could just get me a little bowl or something.
I need a bowl for my Rolls Gold. Listen.
I've got a paring knife. If you could just give me the lemon, I'll just sort of carve it myself.
Keep on living.
Okay.
This is what Matthew McConaughey says, and he likes to party. Don't party as hard as Matthew McConaughey. That's my barometer.
Nobody should party that hard. I don't think you can handle it. I've had to reskin my bongos 3 times trying to live as hard as Matthew McConaughey.
Do you oil them?
What? Yeah, you know, I was oiling them. I was using that. I was using that sandalwood oil for the longest time, and it did help. You were right; it helped with the tone. I'd say it brought it up a good half step. But the problem is, afterwards, there was a lot of residue.
Yeah, it's hard because once your hands get slippery, it's hard to break out a good paradiddle. Once your hands get that slippery,
I would always get as far as like I was getting like does the goosh. Yeah. And when I would get to the goosh, like my hand would stick for just that fraction of a second. Uh-huh. I noticed. Like in my earlier bongo years, I probably wouldn't have, but I need that responsiveness.
What model are you working with now? Is it a Rickenbacker?
No, it's a Bongotron 3000. It's pretty big in Europe. I'm kind of surprised you haven't heard of it.
I think that was a game that you and I just played, and I think I lost. I think we just played Bongo Conversationalist Chicken.
We all lost, I think. Can you?
In case anyone was wondering, Bongotron was my favorite Transformer. He didn't do much, but when he did, it was mellow.
He transformed from a robot into bullshit.
Hey, do you want a Yahoo?
Yeah, redeem yourself.
This one was sent in by Andrew Binder. Thank you, Andrew. It's by Yahoo Answers user LOL, who asks, is it normal to be sexually attracted to... Anybody want to guess?
I want to guess my answer, no.
Numbers!
Numbers!
Is it okay to be sexually attracted to numbers? He adds, I admit I am gay. Well, okay. But there are for numbers. There are some nights where I take the algebra book back into my room and jack off to the numbers. Number three is my favorite because it's so sexy.
Well, yeah.
It looks like a sideways butt.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It adds up.
Or maybe up like sideways balls. There's a lot of things that three could be.
And sideways boobs. It's nice. Sideways boobs. Okay, three's pretty hot.
Let's break this question down. My biggest problem with it is that he says, I admit that I am gay, as if that has any bearing on the situation whatsoever. That's like
if you're straight in the numbers, then that's cool.
Yeah. Or, like, is he saying that that's, like, a side effect? Is, like, one out of every 100 people who like people of their same gender also would like to fuck a number?
What's the sexiest number, everybody?
See, listen, we're not ready to have that conversation yet. We'll get to that. But I think we need to come up with some rules first.
Okay.
I mean, are we talking about fucking the idea of a number? Are we talking about, now, like, I have
dreams? The important thing is not to fuck anything under 16.
Well, we're not going to think of anything funnier than that. God damn
it, Travis. Are we talking about, like, fucking an actual, like, if we could manifest this number into an actual
shape? I think you have
shape,
to pick.
Which shape would be, like, the most pleasurable to, like, rub up against?
Because do you have to pick a numeral? A numeral? Or, because, like, there are so many combinations beyond that. I'm saying what is the hottest numeral.
We have to set a limit, because I could just say, like, 16,783,492. Yeah, like, and then that's a fucking orgy. Once you get that number.
Yeah. Let's say between 0 and 100.
No, a numeral.
Between
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
It's 0.
Nope.
You're wrong.
Yeah, 0 is mysterious.
Travis, you're wrong. Whole. Justin, do you want to guess?
Well, 0's not bad. I think 7 is the sexiest number.
Travis, what is it? Second guess.
8.
Yup. What's up, two holes? How did you get there, two holes? Which one tonight?
You know, he's down.
Do you want the top? Do you want that solid, hefty bottom? Or do you want the slightly narrower top? Sounds good.
And also it recalls snowmen, which
everybody
we can all agree.
Always hot.
I shouldn't impress my feelings on people. If I were to defend 8, I were to say it's obviously not 3, right? Because 3 is just half an 8. You cut it sideways right down the prime meridian.
Sure. You could have 2 threes already. It's called an 8.
A number 1, how are you supposed to fuck that? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
0, that cavity is gigantic.
No, yeah, that's just you're just begging to feel inadequate.
2, I think you could make a case for. It's got a nice curvature, which you guys know I'm a fan of.
Yeah, you do like curvatures.
The problem with 2 and 5 and 7... Yeah, and that's it. Where do you put it?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Where if you have to have intercourse with a numeral.
And that is what we're saying.
Right. Uh-huh. Then number 8.
3 would be tricky, but I think you could do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would like to know when this person discovered this problem, because it could have made for, like, the most awkward math class ever when he's sitting there and the teacher's like, say I have 12 apples and I take 5 away, what do you have? And the answer is boner.
Yes.
Hey, Griff, are there any answers? Do people help him out at all?
Diana Quimby says, I like 69.
Oh. Yeah.
That's cool.
Nice try, Diana.
Suminium, okay, says, yes, completely normal. Have fun. You're not hurting anyone. I disagree.
I agree with the second half of that sentence, but let's not throw around terms like completely normal.
You rob the words of their power.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I'm a Gleek says, everyone has their quirks, I guess. So, Neon Nathan, guess what?
Number Nathan.
Hey, Number Nathan. What's up with Number Nathan? He's over there. He's playing Math Blaster, and he's fucking jerking it so right to Math Blaster.
Number Nookie Nathan.
Number Nookie Nathan jerks it to Math Blaster, I heard, on the internet.
I heard. He is the Math Blaster, he said. I'm the Math Blaster, is what he announces. He announces it loudly. Hey, Hey, listen, I have a sister who gives the best presents for Christmas and every birthday. She comes up with something so ridiculously amazing that I just can't think of how to top her. I know the idea of presents is not to top the other person. Just one time, I would like to win. She's giving me things like a robotic butterfly in a jar.
What?
Nice.
How do I retaliate in the present war? Thanks, guys. Presently stumped.
I didn't know that was a thing.
You gotta quit.
You think?
Yeah, I think you gotta stop the present war altogether. Really lower expectations. And then in 10 years, get a decent present. And they're like, wow.
So you're saying, like, give someone, like, a gift certificate that says, like, I donated a tree in your honor for, like, 10 years in a row.
I got you a goat in a village far, far away.
I think, or you could just bow out by getting, like, the shittiest present ever.
Just race to the bottom is what we're saying. Yeah. Top yourself that way. Top yourself below it.
Because it's not going to hurt you. She'll pretend that she loves it still, but then she'll be like, Michael just, like, got me Barnes & Noble gift certificate, but they're closed down. Like...
Give her whatever
gift certificate for $250. Okay, great. Thank you.
Just take her present that she gives you. The next year, give it back to her with a $5 bill taped to it.
Yeah.
It's like, what's up now? I guess it's a little better this year, huh? I guess it's pretty good, and it's accrued interest. It's accrued value. Over the passing year.
This is why I don't like presents. Because it is a competition. Guess what? It is a competition. And if you have to ask, you're probably losing.
Hey, by the way, it sounds like your sister's secret might be ThinkGeek. So maybe you should go to ThinkGeek and check out some of the gifts they have there. Because then you might be able to beat her that way.
Ooh. Instead of buying the shittiest present ever, just make it. Then she really can't get mad at you.
Yeah. She really won't see that coming.
What have you done with these clothespins? Michael, I'm looking at it, and I honestly can't tell.
What is this supposed to be?
Is this an ashtray? Because there's a lot of cavities in it.
For ash to slip through. I'm a hotel housekeeper in Australia. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I should try an accent.
Should I do an accent for this question?
Yeah.
God, I love that.
I was recently cleaning the room of a guest who was from the States. Is that good?
Perfect.
It sounded like you were, like, time traveling, and you were, like, talking to us, like, in a time vortex.
He opened up his wallet and asked me what the usual tipping rate is over here. I told him that, unlike in the U.S., hospitality workers here are paid enough by their employer that they don't rely on tips as income, and that it isn't necessary. He said, oh, and put his wallet back in his pocket. I thought tipping was a sign of appreciation for providing a good service. Should I take this personally? Should I not have told him the truth? Or have I just encountered a cheap dick scrape? Jen. I actually have a theory on this. I think that any time you go to another culture, more important to you than money is that you don't look like a dipshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when this guy got his wallet out and you said, we don't really do that so much, he probably felt like a dipshit so hard that he just put the money away for fear of sounding like a dipshit. That would be my guess, at least.
You definitely humiliated him.
He was embarrassed.
What I don't understand is why you didn't take this guy to the fucking cleaners.
Oh my god.
How much is that? 20%.
Yeah, like over a hundo. Just because that's how we do it in Australia.
Money means nothing here. We just give it away.
Yeah. So give me some of it. So I do. It would mean a lot to me, though, if you gave it to me.
This is why I don't travel.
This is it?
I'm serious, because I would do this. I would be that guy, and I'd never recover from that shame. Ever.
But here's what I've learned from traveling. Like, you think that someone who is... I used to think when I was younger that if I traveled a lot, that things would make more sense. Like, there is a culture sort of inherent to travel where like a worldwide culture, you know what I mean? Like, something that if you've been to enough places, you just kind of grok what's going on. Griffin and I stayed in a hotel earlier this month, where every night when we would come to the back to the hotel room, there were floor mats that said sleep well and slippers wrapped up in plastic.
We had we had nightly debates about whether those slippers were free.
There's no rules. Yeah. And since you're in Australia, there's no rules, just right. Like at the Outback. That's what you should tell him. There's no rules to tipping. There's just
so you're right. Saying just embrace your ineptitude at international affairs. Just like
say if I'm gonna have another if I'm gonna have enough shrimp to put on the Barbie, I need you to tip me right now.
Why are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt? You do realize that not all islands are like the same. This isn't like a tropical resort for you. Like we live here.
Jen,
you're wearing sunscreen. You're indoors and you're wearing sunscreen.
My advice is
funny don't, sunscreen on your nose.
Be careful not to use the word necessary, because I think that people only tip because it is necessary. And if you say that's not necessary, that translates to don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe say like, well, you know, if you really appreciate the service, then we accept tips, but it's not required.
Tipping is such a sensitive thing. I don't know why this guy would breach that sensitivity and be like, hey, do you need this? Like wave it in front of you. Do you need
Are you
this?
Having some troubles?
How much of what I have do you need to be happy?
I've got it to give. Do you need it to have? Like
I've got a vein open. Come drink. I think next time just say 10% and go on about your business.
I think that's
and that, also that's kind of a dick move, by the way. Don't ask this person what the usual tipping rate is. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? Ask like the. Somebody else, your cabbie or something.
Literally anybody else.
Take tips. No. I'm having trouble thinking of people that she would interact with that would not require tips.
Who could be impartial.
Nope, tips.
I
haven't you ever
everybody.
Seen The Secret of My Success starring Michael J. Fox?
Not in too long.
Yeah.
I tipped a soda machine in a hotel once. I just put another dollar in. I was like, that's for you. Good job.
For a second, I thought it was going to turn into a real like Bret Michaels story. Like you tipped a soda machine and then you kicked it down a flight of stairs.
No, I would never hurt a soda machine like that. Do you want a Yahoo answer?
Yeah, I was just about to ask for one.
This one was sent in by America's favorite person, Jacob Blocker. Hi, Jacob. There was a time poll and he won it for that thing. It's by Yahoo Answers user Bowler who asks, I need tickle fetish help. So, I have a tickle fetish, and I was wondering if there is a tool I can use to tickle my feet, such as an electric toothbrush or something.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
It's really a question of reach, isn't it? I mean...
I imagine when you have a tickle fetish... I can't tickle myself. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to do it without the help of some sort of tools. I didn't know this was a thing.
I have a boner. Do you?
Stop. Don't stop.
Ugh. Don't stop. Do stop. I have a boner. No, please. It's uncomfortable now. You have been tickling me for too long. I have a fetish. It doesn't mean I'm not a masochist.
You should really... I think that if you have a tickle fetish, you need to become the person who warns every single person you come across that you have a tickle fetish. Like, you're getting a job interview, and they're like, is there anything else you need to tell us? Like, well, I have a tickle fetish, which I need you to know, because if you can't ever come up to me in my cubicle... And be like, hey, Johnson, come here, fluffy fingers. And then, like, it's like, boss man, I have a boner now that I have to deal with for the rest of the day that you gave to me. And I have to, like,
I'm rock hard.
I got to go home to my wife and kids, and they'll be like, how's your day? It was, like, pretty good. My boss gave me a tickle boner. So I guess actually what I said about it being pretty good was wrong.
It's the opposite of that.
I'm still chewing on that factoid.
I guess a back scratcher, like, would that work?
Or a broom?
Like, one of those long ones with a foot, a broom?
How about just
most witches just have tickle fetishes. A lot of people don't know that.
Is this a thing? I guess I'm just surprised that this is a thing. Like, are there people who, like, go to prostitutes and they're like, $50 for a BJ hundo for a Minnesota pincher, and you're like, how much for fluffy fingers?
How about you just tickle me? Do you want, I'll tickle you, I will tickle you to titter, but not to full chuckle.
And then they'll get confused and be like your penis? Like, you want me to tickle your penis? Like, oh, no. I'm not ticklish No. I'm ticklish on my tummy. If you could just give me tummy honks. If you can get up under my armpits and maybe my big toes.
Here's what I have. I have tummy honks. Those are on the table. That's $25. I'll give you pit pushers where I get up in there and really squeeze and tickle you. That's no problem. Fluffy fingers, that's going to cost you.
Oh, man.
And also kissing on the mouth, $150. So if you want to add that service. We also offer a nice nice relax afterwards because you need to cool down from the tickle. You get a oolong tea and a Time Life. Time Life book about the Old West. Sit, drink your oolong, and read your Time Life book about
stellar tickle. I'm going to learn about cowboys.
good tickle. I wonder what Apache relations were like.
Diane, you were worth every penny. I am giggling like a schoolboy over here.
Can you be a dove and nuke my oolong? Got a little chill. I got so into this part about hatchet crafting.
Do you know what the nice thing is about going to a tickle prostitute?
What's that?
You get a happy beginning, middle, and end.
Shit. I want to hear Griffin's last question. But first, quick housekeeping type stuff. You've been listening to my brother and me. As always, the nicest thing you can do for us is tell a friend. We have a lot of people who do that, you know, in meat space. Just say, hey, listen to this. And then they jam like a USB drive or a disc. And then we have people who do it on the internet. Like Joe Patrick 116, Mike Tart is up on there. Anybody else really been killing it this week?
Jeff Grubb. There's Ausmain Mariko, always killing it, 100% of the time.
Tech Monkeys.
Oh, Christ. Corey Dutson. C. Dutson on Twitter created... Well, we created GriffinSpaceJam.com with a rough draft, I would say. The first installment. C. Dutson turned up the fucking heat.
It is now a full sensory sort of experience.
If you want sight, there's sight. If you want read, which is one of your senses, there's read. You can read there. Sound, he put the jingle on there. It's such a fucking delight. I'm so happy that I made it. Thank you, C. Dutson.
So you should follow him. Man, that is a good website.
It's like the best website. I can't believe somebody made that.
My dream is that it continues to be more productive, like it's more useful, until it passes Google.
Do you think maybe...
That's everybody's homepage.
Everybody has a secret, like, love of the Space Jam franchise in their heart, but they don't know, like, I need a safe place where I can go and talk about how much I love Lola, because she's just so feminine and delicate. You can do that here. By the way, everybody, here's a fun little interactive adventure you can go on right now. If you get on YouTube and search Bugs and Lola, and then just like go on a journey, just like watch the videos that come up, because you are going to love them.
You're really. Also, if you are in the Chicagoland area, or you can get there, you need to go to MaximumFun.org. You need to look for that link about our show that we're doing live there, or you can just go to the Second City website. Mm-hmm. April 17th, we're going to be there with Jordan Jesse Go. We're going to be opening for them, and then they're going to do their thing.
And the whole night will be hosted by Dan Telfer, who is fucking hilarious.
He's so funny. If you watch his, he's got a video on YouTube called "The Best Dinosaur."
Jesus one of his Christ! Bits.
Go watch it. It's the fucking funniest thing. So Dan,
as an added bonus, April 17th is Griffin's birthday. Yeah. So we'll probably be going out afterwards doing like a meetup thing.
We're going to get fucked up Sunday night.
Yeah.
Don't tell Jesus.
Griffin's drunk on his birthday. So make sure you get tickets for that. We cover Twitter. If you got questions for us, mbmbam@maximumfun.org. And you follow us on Twitter. We're climbing the ranks here, but we still need more of you to join us. So
we're all on Twitter separately too. It's just
we broke 3,000.
Hey, all right,
yay,
pretty good. Right?
If you want a promotion, if you want to take us to the money zone, and we'll take you to the jingle zone, you can email Teresa at maximumfun.org. That's Teresa with an H. I know some people like to eschew the H. Travis, you're dating an H-less Teresa. I gotta say, I don't know how I feel about that. You didn't consult us before.
Me neither.
If you guys get married and she has to change her name, can she just pop that H in there?
Just very...
I'll see what I can do. I mean, I'll definitely bring it up.
Thanks. So, I believe that is everything. Thank you guys, as always, so much for hanging out with us. We will, of course, be back. Sorry we missed a couple Mondays there, but we're back on the regular schedule now, so make sure you check that out. Check us out. Check our show out at Archives. Just kidding. Go ahead, Griffin, whenever you're ready.
I'm going to call this out. Travis just wrote us a message on Skype. Sometimes he does this whenever he does things during the show that he wants me to edit out in post. And it says, I farted at 54 minutes. So I'll make sure to stop back in and cut that flatulence out. But I am leaving this in so that people know what you did.
I could have sworn I heard it. If you go back and play, I don't know if you could edit it in, but he made a sound afterwards like, what happened?
Let me
what did I do?
Let me highlight that waveform, amplify 20 dBs. Sorry about your speakers.
For a half of a second, I forgot where I was, which happens to me quite often and once happened to me on the bus. It's one of those moments where it's just like, extreme comfort, fart. Oh, no.
That's how you can tell.
And then I try to cover it up with a throat clear.
Time traveled for a second. You just got lost in the moment.
This is the grossest podcast.
I hate it.
How about Griffin. This one was sent in by Kevin Frieda. Thank you, Kevin. It's by Yahoo Answers user. The casual fan rises, who asks, ladies, imagine this. I have X-ray vision, and I can see through your clothes. What now?
Justin McElroy.
Hey, it's Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.